All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
What up, H-Town? Hey, the weather outside is frightful, but there's no place you'd rather be than inside with Nick, Barry, and me. That's why we're the usual suspects, and we're here till 4 to talk about sports and a whole lot more. I just should just keep going. I mean, it's a flow. I feel good about
kick it.
The coffee is
just
doing it again.
Well, my name is Joel, and I'm here to say... It is
all
a
you other
rainy
dumb stations,
day.
We ain't play.
All right. And yeah. There goes that.
There we go. Yeah.
I mean, you're no Cole Beasley, but you'll
How about
do.
That? And someone tweeted us, too.
Cole Beasley.
Someone tweeted us and said, of all the people on the Dallas Cowboys, what are the odds that of all of the players, Cole Beasley would be the guy with a rap single?
And you know how desperate rappers are to get their mixtape in your hands? I wonder if he's doing that in the huddle. Where Dak Prescott's like, all right, guys, huddle up, huddle up. He's doing the huddle sign with his fingers. They all get in there. He's like, okay, here we go. And Cole, like, all of a sudden just starts passing out thumb drives. Yo, y'all, check out my mixtape. Check out my mixtape. They're like, bro, we're on a drive right now. Yeah, I know, but just later. Just shove that in your pants and check it out later.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's one of those things, too, where he's probably, you know, you've seen it after the game by the buses where the families and stuff wait for the players. You can see, hey, I actually play. Check out the CD.
Just handing them, people like come up, hey, Cole, can I have your autograph? Yeah, here is the signed CD of my mixtape. Take that.
Yeah, check this out on iTunes when it gets there. Someday.
Yeah, of all the guys that I would suspect would have a rap album, it would not have been Cole Beasley.
Who would you have picked?
On the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Dez Bryant.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even Zeke or Dez.
Oh, Zeke would be my second choice, but yeah. Dez first just because, you know. He's seen some things.
I'm telling you, man.
He's
I said
lived
this
some
earlier
life.
And people thought I was crazy. He could be out in Dallas. And I know his contract's coming up too. But he wants like Odell Beckham Jr. money. And that dude to me, and he's trying to blame it on the offense and all these other things. I'm not sure that guy's worth it.
This late in his career?
Yeah.
I mean, although when you think about how many top-tiered wide receivers there are in the NFL, it's... There's not a lot of ones. I mean, he's 29, so it's not like he's old, but he's getting there. And, you know, do you want to invest several more years in him? It's not like they're loaded at the position. They've got some guys, but they're not loaded either.
Right.
But I think if you get a one like Dez, you got to hang on to him.
It just depends on what price.
He's not, put it this way, he's not at the level that Andre Johnson was when the Texans moved on.
That's a good point.
And said, nah, we can do without you because you're old and you don't catch the ball anymore. I think he's still viable.
But he's on the
at least for another
you
couple
think he's
years.
On the downside
yeah,
a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I mean, he's almost 30. I think he'll be 30 in the midst of the season next year. So that's getting up there in NFL years.
Is he going to be 30?
Yeah.
Wow. So I was telling you guys... Waiting for you guys to get here finally for the production meeting.
Well, you know,
I was doing some things in the office.
Can I tell you why I didn't come in?
Eventually, you can. But I was walking by, and you know, our front door, it's all glass, and there's a female sitting out in our outside lobby.
Was she hot? Oh, that's not an appropriate question.
Yeah, it's not an appropriate question.
Okay, my bad.
And there's a guy in our lobby.
Me too.
That isn't Esme's not up there, so by himself. And I was trying to work out some things with Michelle for the weight loss challenge. And I go, there's someone in our lobby that I think is trying to weigh in. But then, like, I get up and down about four times. And it's like the
get
guy.
Up and down four times.
You know, looking at you from your head to your toe.
Oh,
and
they look you up and down.
And it's like they know you, but they don't. And okay. I was just like, okay, I'm not going to go in there then because I don't know. I'm not sure if they're looking at
you
me.
You too good to hang with the listeners?
So I didn't know who it was.
Oh, okay.
But then I get back into the conference room, and I see a tweet from Clay that says, hey, man, I was sitting in the lobby, and how crazy is it that my wife, who was sitting outside, could identify both Joel and Dell by their voices? I'm like, well, dude, say something. I didn't know who the hell you were. You could have been a crazy delivery guy.
You guys do have very distinct voices.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, you sound black. So okay. People were probably looking for someone else when they saw you.
This wasn't about me. This was about you.
Oh, it's always about you.
Is it?
Yes. So why were you late?
I was late because, once again, for the second week in a row, I had no idea what I was going to write about for Houston Sports and stuff and Sports Map. And so I was like, man, I've got to have a good article. And then I've got to fill it in on Houston Sports and stuff. I can post, I'll cross post sometimes, but on Houston Sports and stuff, I have to write more than just a column or an article. It's got to have a bunch of other stuff in it. So I finally, at 12:40 in the morning, decide that I'm going to do a comparison between basically what should the Astros do next? Should they trade for Gerrit Cole, sign Yu Darvish, or just try to re-sign Keuchel? And then I can't just write about it. I've got to start diving into contracts and stats and this. And I went to bed after I posted my article at 4:10 in the morning. So I didn't get
4:10?
Yes. It took me 4 hours to write this article. I swear to God, if every one of you hearing my voice don't go read this damn thing.
You know, if you called 1-800-ABC-DEFG, get hooked on phonics, and the writing becomes a whole lot easier.
It's not that. I wanted to make sure I was thorough, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't just
half-ass.
You better have, like, zero
mistakes.
Go
look how long it is. It's a long article, but there's a lot of good info in there. I do some comparisons and talk salaries and links. And
sweet.
I mean, there's a part where I talk about Keuchel saying he wanted to stay with the Astros. I think everybody has written off the fact that he's gone.
People are, basically
the point, basically, the point of the article is, of all the things, if you're comparing Cole to Yu Darvish, which is the hot free agent, top pitcher in the majors, free agent right now, that is tied to the Astros and five other teams, plus a mystery team, which we could talk about in a minute. And Keuchel, my suggestion or the thing I would like to see him do is go after Keuchel. And the point is, if they go after Cole, you get Cole for two more years. Mm-hmm. So he's here with Keuchel, and I made the yesterday I talked about Fred saying, yeah, the reason why you go after Cole is he's insurance when Keuchel leaves.
Right.
True, but you only have him under arbitration for two more years. So you would have him next year with the guys that already exist. Mm-hmm. Keuchel, if he leaves in 2018, you're renting Gerrit Cole for 1 year at the sake of giving up several prospects. All right, because you don't know if you're going to be able to sign him. And then you would be without Cole, you would be without Keuchel and the prospects you gave up to get Cole. If you sign Darvish, he's been struggling every year since his first year. His ERA has gone up.
I just don't like that.
He's looked bad in the World Series. But the good thing about Darvish is he hasn't lost any velocity and his control is still there. So, but I broke it all down. And at the end of the day, I just said, re-sign Keuchel. I mean, go take a run at re-signing Keuchel. It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. And at the end of the day, if you don't, there's free agents in 2019 you can go after. Clayton Kershaw's a free agent, although there's no way the Astros, I think, could afford him.
And he ain't going anywhere. I mean, L.A.'s going to throw more money than anybody.
Oh, he's good. Man, it wouldn't surprise me if – I mean, he's got 2 years left on his deal that he can opt out of that are at $35 million a year in 2018 and 2019. But he could get that or maybe a few more million a year and a seven-year deal. Based on his age, it's somebody's going to have to pay a ridiculous amount of money for him. But go read it. There's a lot of good info in there.
There you go.
So I was up till 4 in the morning.
How many Diet Cokes and Monsters and all that were you in taking?
A bag of popcorn, a half a bag of yogurt almonds, 6 Diet Cokes.
I was going to say, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, and you know what time I woke up this morning? 11.
So you like yogurt on your nuts? Just asking a question. I mean,
I'm not entertaining you with that.
Hey, by the way, you're talking baseball, though. One of the great things that we do for you, because it is a hot topic and people are wondering what happened from the done deal that was to the deal that isn't, that is Gerrit Cole that we were talking about, that you wrote about. We're going to have Jake Kaplan out of the Chronicle, the Astros beat writer, because that's what we do for you. We don't worry about giving away Monster Jam tickets. We worry about doing real things, like talking baseball and other things that are pertinent to you, the listener, and Houston sports fans. So at 1:30, Jake Kaplan will join us, and we'll get all those kind of questions out of the way. If there's something on your mind that you want to fire off to us to try and get to Jake, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick. It's at Barry is funny, and it's at Pac-Man Joel with a K.
What did I miss with the Monster Jam?
Oh, other competitive stations in the market, and I use the term loosely,
are
more concerned about putting things out there so that you can be one of three sets of people that win two tickets to the Monster Jam.
Oh, yeah. That's a big thing going on.
Evidently. Or if they're trying to make it a big thing. No.
Nick, have you ever gone to like a Monster?
I've always wanted to go, but really? I've never gone.
You've wanted
to
go.
Well, Nick, if you want to retweet another station in town, you probably will be one of the three people that win.
Oh, hating ass Joel.
I'm just having fun, man.
I mean, I'd go once.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I love it.
The ticket isn't that expensive.
No?
Is the ticket that expensive?
I've never gone, and I have no desire to go, but I've heard that it's a fun time, but it's really loud. Like, you have to take earplugs.
Yep.
And, you know, you're required to keep a can of Skull in your back pocket and your wallet on a chain. Usually you have to wear like a plaid vest and I don't know.
Camo? Yeah, camo is more the color of choice.
Okay.
What happened to the rapping? I really enjoyed you two busting a flow.
Well, I mean, we were waiting on you to...
Yeah, we were waiting you to fill in and you just didn't...
We were waiting for you to step into our cypher.
I didn't want to interrupt the flow.
We started the cypher. You didn't step into our cypher, so, you know, it's whatever.
You waited and you went, yeah. So we moved on.
That's going to go on the whole show.
Yeah, I know. He's going to wear it out.
It was great. It was great. It's part of the camaraderie we have in this studio. So while the flagship is giving away Monster Jam, we'll have the beat writer to the team that is the flagship, the Houston Astros. Jake Kaplan will join us at 1:30. We'll have some fun there and fun throughout the show. So again, 1 to 4 p.m., we're going to be here with you. It's a crappy day outside, so you know, let the bright skies open up on the radio airwaves. Keep us tuned in, and we'll keep you entertained. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, and we'll be back in just minutes on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel in-house where it is bright and sunshiny inside the studio because outside it is just a nightmare of rain.
Just dark in the studio.
Yeah. And on top of that, Nick and I were in the production conference room and heard a massive boom and a blink of the lights and thought, oh my God, the thunder is coming before the storm.
Nope.
And Barry comes in right after that to correct us. That had nothing to do with Mother Nature.
No, I'm pulling in the parking lot and there's a gap between the two buildings here. And as I'm passing through that gap, I hear the explosion off to my left and towards the street. And I guess that's Alabama out there, right? That's West Alabama.
Yes, it is.
And I look to my left and see a yellow flash. So then I knew, okay, it's not lightning because usually when you see the lightning, it's kind of a white light. So I was like, what the hell did Dale and Raheel say that made someone start bombing the studio? What's going on? So I pull in, I go down to get my Subway, and it was on the street out there, and there's power workers. And I walked in, I was like, what happened? They were like, oh, they did something and blew up a transformer. And this lady was mopping. I was like, well, why are you mopping? Because there was stuff all over the floor. She said, well, when it exploded, some guy was taking a sip of his drink, and it scared him so bad that when he jumped, his drink went everywhere, all over him, the floor, which I thought, damn, I wish I would have been here to see
that. That would have been funny.
That would have been great. But yeah, that scared the crap out of me. That freaked me out for a moment, because then I started thinking, man, what if somebody's going nuts out there? Because you never know nowadays. I mean, the way people are crazy. So you have to be, but thank goodness.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it was just the way society in general is today.
Yeah.
You have to have your head on a swivel anyway.
Yeah.
But that's not a comforting noise, no matter, even if it was thunder. I mean, the way things are going these days. But yeah, that was freaky because Nick and I were both like, I was like, man, the thunder.
Yeah, I could have sworn it was thunder. I had no idea. I had no idea. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad everybody was okay.
Cause... Yeah, me too. Hey, to your story about Clayton being here.
Yeah.
He said he thinks his wife is hot.
And I told him that I like that remark and he should.
Yeah, because I was just, you know, I mean, that's a good question to ask.
I think my wife's hot.
Yeah, you should. You're supposed to. If you don't think your wife is hot, she shouldn't be your wife, right?
Right.
He's like, right.
No, I mean, I was thinking about something else. I'm sitting there in the kitchen this morning getting my daughter's lunch together and doing some things. And my mother-in-law comes downstairs, and right away she says, I think I got pink eye. And I'm like, what?
Whoa.
And within seconds, she is up in my personal space with her glasses off going, look in this eye. And I'm like, But I spent all morning at urgent care in which they found out that, watch these faces, she does have pink eye.
Oh, no.
But.
Why are you here, point blank?
But, as you say. Yes, because I wanted to see your face, germaphobe. It is.
Did you fart on her pillow?
It is not. It is bacterial. It is not. So it's not contagious. But then, but the fallout for me, of course, is, well, that means your house isn't clean enough because I definitely got it somehow in your house while I was here. I was like, yeah, all right, let me drive you over to CVS and get that prescription. So we got that taken care of.
You didn't fart on her pillow, huh?
No, but you know what's worse?
Was that the first thing you thought of?
No. But then my wife.
Because anytime I hear pink eye, it's the very first thing I think of. You got poop in your eye.
I don't think of that because, but I will say this. Thanks to you, the first thing I thought about was, well, maybe there was bacteria from when you poop in the bathroom flying around.
Got in your eye? You got to start pooping with goggles on. What movie was it where, I forget what movie it was, but some guy was like, I got pink eye. And somebody's like, oh, it's because I farted on your pillow. That's why I always think of that.
Yeah, I didn't go that far. There was a movie.
I'm sure our listeners will be able to remind me of what it is.
You're still stuck on that movie?
Huh?
You still think?
Yeah, every time. As soon as I hear pink eye, that's the first thing I think of is that scene in that movie.
Have you ever had it? I had it once.
Never.
It is so annoying.
Yeah, it sucks.
Oh, it's terrible. But of course, so the hardest working woman in local TV not only does the morning show, but on Thursday she does Pet of the Week, where she's got to travel across town, go to the SPCA. They do the pet. She changes to a more casual outfit and does like 3 or 4 pets. But that takes her longer to get home. So I call her. She's in the car. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, well, I'm with your mom. We were at urgent care. And now we're at CVS. And she's like, oh, God, what happened? Whatever. And I was like, no, she's okay. She's like, okay, good. I go, but it's pink eye. She's like, are you kidding me? What? And she's in our house? She's coming back. I can't get pink eye. I can't go on the air and pink. I'm like, Lisa, no, you don't understand. And I'm like, oh my God. She goes, well, why can I not get it? I go, I'm just gonna let you and your mom talk the minute that I get ready to go to work and you guys can work that.
Yeah, that's between
you. That's all you guys. All I needed to hear was I can't get it.
Darren and Francisco said it was Knocked Up. Have you seen Knocked Up, the movie?
I have.
Yeah, that was the movie. The scene was in Knocked Up. So
okay.
There you go. I would have suspected when you were telling me that story that Lisa was going to be like, oh, my God, she's got to go. She can't be giving the dogs pink eye. Like, that was my first thought.
No.
I really thought Lisa would be more concerned about the dogs than y'all.
She was concerned with Tay.
Yeah.
But then right away, I can't afford to get pink eye right now.
I figured you would be like, just as long as the dog that pissed on her doesn't get pink eye, then I'm all right. Right?
I have no idea what you're talking about. So... yeah, that was like, I'm not getting into any of that because of the fact that I've had it before. I don't think I'm going to get it, but I am not big on pink eye because it is annoying. Your eyes don't stop watering.
No.
Oh, my God.
Isn't it easy to spread it from one to the other?
I don't know, but like, because then, of course, and her mom's big concern was the baby, too. But the thing is, kids at that school that she goes to, they bring them to school with strep throat, pink eye, whatever, and none of us have ever gotten that.
But you're not so supposed to take them if they're
sick,
right?
But these parents don't care because we've had this conversation before. When you have that, that's not a school for the parents. That's a built-in babysitter.
Right.
So if they got to, like, take the kid out of school, that means they got to figure out a way where they're not at work or they have to get a babysitter or something. So parents don't give a rat's ass if they're – got something or not, they still drop them off.
But is the rule at school, like if someone at the house has pink eye, then they can't go to school either? Or is it just if the kid has it?
If the kid that's at school has it, because you really, unless you divulge it to the school.
Right, nobody, I guess
right,
so.
They
okay.
don't know.
But I figure so maybe they would be like,
don't
hey.
Know, don't tell if you're the parents, because again, okay. you're looking to make sure
your
that they stay there.
Yeah.
But the school's great about the fact that from a sickness perspective, they take the temperature right there and everything. And if it's after, you've got to come get them within 30 minutes.
Damn,
and they get
around,
taken out
huh?
of the classroom to like isolation.
They don't play.
No, absolutely not. All right, so we've got calls waiting. Damian wants to get in here. He wants to talk NFL playoffs. Damian, what's up?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing this afternoon?
Good, my friend. What's up with you?
What's up, man?
All right, listen, I got a couple of quick questions about the rules. This is playoffs, so you know it's going to be a lot of different rules and stuff that's going to have to apply for instant replay and all that, you know, scoring plays. But my question is really twofold. The first thing I have is, with the way that they're scoring these touchdowns nowadays, they're saying that you have to survive the ground. You know, you make a catch, right. You know, you have to be have control of the ball and survive the ground. Well, not too long ago, they were saying that the ground couldn't cause a fumble. and I'm trying to get clarification on that. And the other thing that I have is this intentional grounding thing. You know, a quarterback goes back and intentionally spikes the ball to save time, you know, to perhaps get the field goal team on the field or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then now it's okay for them to intentionally spike the ball, but then it's not okay for them to intentionally spike the ball during the course of a regular game. And I know that might sound completely asinine, but could y'all explain that to me?
You raise a valid point, but I think one of them is, I guess you could say that the running back would be considered in the area, because one of the things is as long as there's somebody in the area. But I think even if you're inside the pocket, if there's a screenplay and the quarterback drops back and there's somebody misses a blocking assignment or they read the screen, a lot of times you'll see the quarterback just throw it at their feet. And even if they're in the pocket, that's okay. So my guess is, to answer the question, Damon, the second part is the fact that the running back is close, they would consider that in the area, so it's not considered any kind of grounding. That's just a guess, though. I
was going to say, I'm not going to be Mike Pereira on this one and tell you what I don't know. But I would say the other thing, to Barry's point, if that's not it, the other thing I would say is if you throw a pass that literally is within like 3 feet of the ground, directly into the ground, that they have to have a rule in place that basically calls for what a clocking of the ball is. And if you're not even trying to throw it over the line of scrimmage or you're looking at a receiver, you just jam it into the ground.
Yeah.
The distance it traveled might be one thing, because it's a great point. You're obviously right, because I was going to say it came up because of Cam Newton last week, because of how close that was to getting out of the tackle box.
By the way, he was outside of the tackle.
He was.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so that's possibly something that they have to look at. But the other thing, your first point, look, hands down, the NFL has got to have gotten the message by now. They got to change that whole catch-not-catch thing, because there's been too many issues.
I have an answer.
Okay.
I used this handy-dandy thing called Googling, uh-huh. And I Googled it. And according to operations.nfl.com, rule summary, view official rule, it is a foul for intentional grounding if a passer facing an imminent loss of yardage because of pressure from the defense throws a forward pass. There is no imminent loss of yardage because of pressure from the defense in that scenario.
Now, break down the catch, no catch for me real quick.
We'll do that after the break.
And by the way, as we go to the break, Nick, I put it on my Twitter page, but it's fantastic. Mike Pereira said that his dad was like always hard to please. When he finally got the job with the NFL, he called him and said, "Dad, I'm in the NFL." And it was amazing because there was this dead silence on the phone. And he said, "I felt like I had finally achieved something in his eyes. I was waiting for him to break the silence." And instead, he just paused and said right into the phone, "Don't F the Niners," because he's a San Francisco fan.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic.
That is great.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. We'll take a break, and we only got a half hour out of the way, so we've got plenty more show. And coming up next, Jake Kaplan of the Houston Chronicle, who is the beat writer that covers the Astros, will join us to talk Gerrit Cole and so much more baseball right up after the break. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, as you ask, we answer, because the Astros were a hot topic. Well, we're going to come up with trying to get some answers for you. We were talking about Gerrit Cole and the deal that was done that now isn't. And there's no better expert in the business to get on the air than the man that we go to first and foremost. He's the beat writer for your Houston Astros at the Houston Chronicle. That's Jake Kaplan. You can follow him at Jake M. Kaplan. And Jake will never be the guy that says a deal's done till it's done. I have that feeling. But Jake, welcome back to the show. Appreciate you spending some time with us.
Hey, how are you guys doing? I'm having a hard time hearing you. Sorry.
No problem. Hey, we're good. We just said you're not the kind of guy that's going to go out there and tweet out that a deal is done until it's done, but we know that it's not done, at least for the time being. What can you tell us on the Garrett Cole situation?
I'm sorry. I can't hear you guys at all. As far as I know, and, you know, everything I was told yesterday was, it wasn't even close. So I don't know where that report came from that it was done, let alone imminent, let alone close. So, you know, from what I hear, they're talking to a bunch of teams about different potential starters. They're talking to free agents, Yu Darvish, maybe Jake Arrieta. And, you know, I don't think there's odds. The odds are that they will acquire or sign any of them, but I think they have their kind of their feet in a lot of different, you know, the ball's in the air, a lot of different areas. And, you know, maybe one will come to fruition. Maybe it might not. So, they're in an area of strength where they don't need to really do anything. But if an opportunity comes up where they like, you know, Garrett Cole being one of those potential opportunities, they might do it.
Is there, Jake, any discussion internally about just focusing on re-signing Dallas Keuchel? I mean, we know he's signed with Scott Boras, so he's going to get paid. But is that one of the things that they're maybe looking to?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't. You know, whenever I ask Jeff Luhnow about an extension talks or anything like that, he doesn't really comment on it. But, you know, I think everyone expects Dallas Keuchel to test free agency next year, and I'm sure the Astros will be among the teams in on him. But, you know, I think the idea of acquiring another starter is to protect yourself against him potentially leaving, but also they just have spots they're going to need to fill in the next two seasons. Not only is Keuchel on the last year of his deal, but so is Charlie Morton. And then the year after that, Justin Verlander and Colin McHugh will be in contract year. So at some point, they just need to fill out future rotation spots. And also, you know, as they look ahead to 2018, it would be strengthening a strength if they could add another, you know, top of the rotation type guy.
Well, let's talk about the potential pieces in that deal that were mentioned, because, you know, I'm interested to get your opinion. But when I heard it wasn't involving Whitley or Tucker and that it was Martez and Fisher, I was like, I'd have done that deal yesterday. And in fact, are the untouchables for the Astros right now Whitley and Tucker?
I think that was people just speculating. I don't think anyone knows, because there wasn't a deal. Like, it was an erroneous report. So I think people were speculating as what could get a deal done. I would be stunned if the Astros traded Forrest Whitley or Kyle Tucker, each of whom they will have 6 years of major league control,
yep,
for a pitcher who has 2 years of control, and like Garrett Cole does. I could maybe see it for, you know, one of the other guys out there who has 4 or 5 years of control, but it doesn't really make much sense to me, and it's kind of against what they seem to like to do. I mean, they didn't do a deal last year for Jose Quintana, who had 4 years of control. So I would have a really hard time seeing the Astros do that. But, you know, if say they're talking about Garrett Cole, I think Fisher seems like that makes sense. But I think if that was what they were going to do, you know, it would have been, you know, I don't get the sense that there's anything remotely close to a framework that's like in place. I think, you know, all these names that we all speculated about, Fisher, Martez, Moran, you know, anyone, and you just look at their prospect list, Yordan Alvarez, like, sure, that would be, those are probably the names they're talking about, because that's, you know, the young players there that other teams want that aren't Tucker or Whitley.
Jake, how serious are the Astros about going after Yu Darvish? It came out yesterday in a tweet where somebody said that the Astros were one of the five teams that he's narrowed it down to which he replied, there's also a sixth mystery team. Are they serious? I kind of feel like they're probably top three, but what have you heard about the Astros and Yu Darvish?
Well, I don't think they would be serious. I mean, they're definitely serious. They met with him in December. That was out there. So I don't think you would meet with him if you weren't serious. But, you know, I'm still skeptical they would go the years and the money that it's going to take. You know, he might get a five-year deal, I would think. And you know, that's long-term starting pitching contracts are risky. And with so many other competitors out there, I would say the odds are he will sign somewhere else. But, you know, the Astros are definitely in the mix, as we saw in that Yu Darvish tweet. So we kind of just have to wait and see what he does, where he decides to go. And you know, it's tough to know, really, when you're not – when when you're not sure what it will take to get him in terms of both years and salary, annual salary. So, but yeah, I mean, they wouldn't have met with him if they weren't seriously considering it.
So does all this speculation and all the rumors that are out there about the Astros pursuing another starter lead you to believe that they're leaning towards improving the bullpen by doing somewhat of what they did in the playoffs last year and one, if not more, of the Lance McCullers, Peacock, Charlie Morton trio would end up spending some time as a relief pitcher?
I think if they acquired another starter, it would pretty much nix any possibility that Brad Peacock's in the rotation, and that improves their bullpen. So, I mean, Peacock's the one who's established himself as being good at both roles, and so he's already, as things stand right now, it would be between him and Colin McHugh for the fifth rotation spot if everyone's healthy. So I think if they got another starter, it would probably end the Peacock rotation conversation, and he would be a weapon in their bullpen. So I don't think you're going to see Morton or McCullers in the bullpen in the regular season, but Peacock's the one that would affect.
I was going to ask you, has there been talks internally or maybe rumors that you've heard? Because it keeps coming up where people, after his performance in the playoffs, everyone's suggesting, well, Lance McCullers could be a closer for this team. But I'm guessing that you're not hearing those rumors or hearing stuff being talked about like that in the clubhouse.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I mean, you have a lot more value in a starter than you do a reliever. And if he can be a good starter, and he was an all-star starter the first half of last year, there's a ton more value in that than having a one-inning reliever.
Yeah, so, I totally agree. Now, does the fact that they signed Joe Smith and Hector Rondon, are they done trying to add pieces to that bullpen?
I think it's likely that they are, but I think because there's so many free agents still available, that if the market dropped on a guy, that they would consider bringing in another arm. But, yeah, I think more than likely those are their two guys. You know, they have a lot of, you know, there's only eight spots. So you added two guys, and only so many guys have options in the guys who are coming back. So to go to the minor leagues. So, yeah, I would think that they're probably done. I mean, they should. The one thing to watch is potential of maybe them getting a lefty. But I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. They seem to think that their righties can get lefties out. And whether that is the case remains to be seen. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it wouldn't shock me if they got a lefty. I don't think it'll be a big name if they do, though.
So is it a done deal then? Ken Giles is the closer again next season?
Yeah, as much as they use roles. I mean, we've seen since A.J. Hinch got to Houston, he's you know, roles aren't a big topic for him. You know, if you ask him about closers, he's not big on talking about that. And he showed last year. He brought in Ken Giles in the eighth inning in certain instances. But, yeah, I mean, the idea that Ken Giles is done, so to speak, after 8 2/3 innings of terrible pitching in the playoffs is you know, I think they're chalking that up to a small sample size. And if you look at his regular season, he had a really good regular season. And, you know, I think the closer's role in general is kind of, in my opinion, overhyped. I mean, I think the highest leverage spot of the game might come in the seventh inning or the eighth inning. And so I think, yeah, I mean, I think he will be he will probably get the most saves on the team, but I think you might also see him in the eighth inning at times too.
So, general baseball question for you. I mean, the Hot Stove League has been pretty quiet most of the year. I saw something that attributed that to the fact that a lot of people might be waiting on 2019 because of the crop of free agents that are coming there. What do you think is the reason overall that things have been so slow? Is everybody just – because sometimes you'll see where they may be waiting on like a Yu Darvish to sign before all of the other free agent pitchers will sign. Why do you think it's been so slow this offseason?
I think it's a number of factors. I think that's probably the biggest is that next year's free agency class is so loaded that a lot of the big market teams that are usually spending on these guys who are out there now want to reset their luxury tax and get under the threshold so that they're in better position to spend next offseason. I think also front offices think similarly, and you know, there's a lot more reliance on data and analytics, and you know, most teams seem to think and evaluate players in a similar fashion, and you know, free agency is not always the best place to get good value. So I think there's some of that. And, it's weird. I definitely didn't expect, you know, all these players to be out there in January, but it's kind of what it's come to.
Good stuff, Jake. We really appreciate it. We know it's kind of your off season, but hey, you can follow Jake Kaplan by following at cron.com in the sports department. And you can also follow him on Twitter at Jake M. Kaplan for the latest and greatest on your Houston Astros. Jake, appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you again soon, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
There you go. Jake Kaplan of the Chronicle. Good stuff. I mean, that's some of the answers. And it's interesting that you get all these national guys that were dead set and adamant on the fact that that was a done deal. And then he comes right out and says, I don't know where that came from. They weren't close.
It's the issue you have and the trap that we all fall into when someone just says, hey, I have a source that said. In the old days, back in my day, which wasn't even my day, but man, you used to have to go get two sources before you ran with a story.
Yeah.
And in today's instant Twitter, instant Facebook, instant news, you don't wait. As soon as someone tells you something, you tweet it out.
Everyone's Mark Berman now.
Because then you can be like, it was just a source. It was a bad source, my bad.
Scooping, you're not breaking it, then you're late.
Yeah.
And you're going to get punished. All right, so we get to the source, we get to the people that gives you the answers, and then we continue to roll on. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we are steamrolling through hour number one of the three-hour big show. It is The Usual Suspects with Nick, Barry, and Joel. I'm telling you, Jake Kaplan was fantastic because he cuts to the chase, and he can cut through some of the BS that some of these national writers are selling you guys as fact when it's fiction. And that's I thought there was some really good insight into the Astros.
Yeah, I liked it. That was good stuff. I liked it because he validated some things I've been saying.
I hated that.
I always like it when people agree with me. There's nothing wrong with that.
I wish we had more time in that segment, though, Nick, because I was going to hit him with, you know what, man, what you really need to do is get to sportsmap.com and check out Barry's column because he breaks it down like a mother.
It's funny because a lot of the stuff he said, it's in there.
I saw you nodding.
Yeah, so that's good. That just means, though, that we're in consensus. The information we're giving out, that he's giving out, that I'm giving out, and people are getting the accurate stuff. One of the things in my Houston Sports and Stuff column that I did was this. There's this commercial. I don't know who sent it. I saw, our boy Jason Rowland from Current Cuts.
Yes.
I was on Facebook, and he posted this video. It's a commercial for a furniture store in Asheville, North Carolina, called Red House Furniture. And it's the worst, best commercial I've ever seen and heard in my life. When I saw it, I mean, have you know the McGrath pest control commercials, right? And you know that's Chance McClain, I believe.
I didn't until you told me.
I haven't validated that with Chance or anyone else, but I'm 99.9% sure that's Chance McClain's voice. But it's just kind of a funny, silly way to do that commercial, which is sticks with you. I mean, you remember that commercial when you hear it. And that's kind of what this Red House Furniture commercial is. Now, it's about a minute and a half, so just stick with me on this. But the video's worth seeing. I'm gonna put it on Twitter, but just check out, this was their ad for their Red House Furniture.
Can't we all just get along
at the Red House Furniture?
We can.
At the Red House.
I'm Richard, a.k.a. Big Head. I work at the Red House, and I'm black.
At the Red
House. I like pumping iron and pumping furniture into people's homes.
What? I'm Johnny, a.k.a. T-Engage. I work at the Red House, and I'm white. I like deer hunting, bass fishing, and extending credit to all people.
At the Red House.
I'm black and I love the Red House.
I'm white and I love the Red House.
I'm a black woman and I love the Red House.
I am white and the Red House is for me.
At the Red House.
There's a lot of awkward handshakes going on right now.
Look at the sofa. It's perfect for a black person or a white person.
This mattress is perfect for a white person or a black person.
At the Red House, where black people and white people buy furniture.
And Hispanic people, too.
And all people.
My favorite part is that he says Hispanic wrong.
Did he? He said Hispanic.
He says Hispanic. What? Bro, that's not the word. Hispanic? Nope. I'm sorry, Red House, but you failed at the end there. But isn't that amazing? Would you never not remember that commercial if that came on late at night on the WB?
Well, that or the fact that you've been singing at the Red House for the last hour.
At the Red House!
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been in my head for about 12 hours now since I saw it on Facebook.
Well, now it's stuck in my gourd, too, so thanks for that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
tweet out the link to the YouTube.
And Hispanic people, too.
And it's funny because I didn't realize he said Hispanic until I was showing Nick the video and it had the closed captioning on it. And I guess YouTube has a way now where they'll, because I guess speech to text or speech recognition, they can, when you upload a video to YouTube, it'll say, do you want us to automatically generate closed captioning?
I feel like it's them because they just, the spelling was so god awful. I feel like it was them just.
I don't know, because it says expanding people on the closed captioning. Not Hispanic, expanding people. Oh, it's just so good. That is just so good. I'm gonna tweet that out in a minute. At
Barry's
Funny.
Speaking of that, by the way.
And of course, Hispanic people, too.
I just need you to play the hook for me. Just get the Red House for me. That's the best part.
I didn't expect Jonathan Fagan to respond to me.
Uh-oh, what'd
you
say?
But he was so quick to tweet out one of the articles from the Chronicle last night about the foul that has put Tarik Black out for tomorrow night's game.
What happened? What'd I miss?
What happened, Barry, was that there was a flagrant foul they referenced in which Ed Davis and his head collided with Tarik Black. Tarik Black now has an issue with a bruise in his face, and he's going to have to miss.
I thought it was his hand that poked his eye.
Well, and Nick and I were going back and forth because the other thing is I don't know that a flagrant was called.
It wasn't.
Because of the fact that everybody was talking about who hit who and how did Tarik Black get the foul when it was his face that received the impact, right? But here's the kicker, what I was getting at first and foremost before we get into that. The Chronicle writer, which they didn't correct, called it a fragrant foul.
A fragrant?
A fragrant. So it was smelly. I'm not sure. And it stunk. I'm just not sure if it was flagrant. So I went fragrant question mark with fragrant in quotes, and I knew Jonathan wouldn't respond. But then I go to the article too. It's right in the nuts and bolts of the article. Fragrant foul.
That's awesome.
Again, to your point, when you're trying to get something out quickly and beat everybody else, I guess spelling doesn't matter.
That's why I was up till 4 a.m. Actually, I'm a terrible speller. So I hope and pray that our kind folks at sportsmap.com are actually like Fred the editor. I really hope he's reading this because if he's relying on me to spell things appropriately and not screw up a homophone, he's wrong. It's going to happen. I'm going to spell they're wrong. I'm going to use the wrong two. I'm bad at those. So he better be editing. So yeah, I don't know that I would use fragrant because I know the difference.
I think it was probably someone, it just got lost in the shuffle because they were going so quickly. Yeah.
I tell you, I was telling Jerome this, but usually when I write these articles, what I'll do first is I'll dictate it to an email.
Which is smart, yeah.
Is I'll talk out my article and then email it to myself, then copy and paste it and clean it up. And maybe that's what happened. He just missed he said flagrant and his speech to text put fragrant.
Yeah.
Could be, but yeah, that's bad if that's going up in the Chronicle. There should be several levels of
editorial
review.
Yes,
before that,
sure.
Yeah. Agreed.
Fred would be the first to
tell
you
that. Quick stuff, though, there isn't. Like for the quick stuff that they have to put out,
they just throw it up there.
Yeah, like you know when they put up a link and then you go to the article and it's all of three sentences. There's no editing
and a slideshow of 1,000 stupid slides.
No proofreading there. That's all on you. So
really,
if you make a mistake and you grammar's not right, you know, don't spell something right, that's all on you.
And see, that's the thing, too. People, like we talk about on this show, but overall, everybody's a teacher with a red pen. They all want to correct you and be quick to correct you as quick as they possibly can. And
isn't that what you did, though?
No, I have bit my tongue.
Oh.
And stopped my keyboard at least 5 to 10 times in the past week.
Really?
With people that just blatantly that are writers and are covering teams and things on social media that are just putting the wrong thing. And I'm like, all right, I'm not, because at some point I'll probably screw up. And I hate when I get like the barrel of 15 guns pointed at me going, easy, chief.
Right.
But yeah, everybody's a critic and everybody is a correcting pen, it seems, within social media as well.
Yes. Yes.
Well, yesterday it's true. Got corrected. Well, this one dude keeps calling me out on Twitter, calls me out twice. I correct it like publicly. And then he calls me out again yesterday because I tweet out Chris Paul gets called for a technical. He's like the first one to try and correct me. No, it was PJ. So he corrected me twice earlier. I assumed he was right. I'm mad at myself, not him. And then I realized I was right. It was indeed on Chris Paul. So I'm like, dude, it was Chris Paul. What are you, like the Twitter police? And instead of him like quoting the tweet and correcting it, he DMs me and he apologizes to me that
way. Oh, that's unacceptable.
No, biatch. Screenshot, yep. And then I'm putting it out public. If you're going to call me out publicly.
I agree completely.
And you're wrong? Yeah, I'm going to screenshot that.
As quick as you're going to be the right guy that gets all the credit for, oh, he got him there. Well, you know what? Pull your, you know, de-pant yourself, big boy, and take it like a man after you got called. You called someone out and then you were wrong.
Yep.
That's some BS, that. Nick. You know, how'd you handle it? That.
I just responded back to him. I'm like, look, man, you could have corrected the quote publicly. Like when I make my mistake,
right.
I publicly correct it. How come you didn't publicly correct it? He never responded back to the DM. So
it's coward. Good for you.
So whatever.
Good for you. Next thing you know, he'll be tweeting about things about the refs and costing the Rockets game.
Everybody's pointing out the same thing about the Red House.
Yeah.
So they just don't care about the Asian market?
Nope.
Nope. Just
Indians
blacks,
and
white.
Asians are out.
Just blacks,
at
whites.
The Red House.
Yes. Just blacks, whites, and Hispanics.
Hispanics. All right.
So stupid.
We got one in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show. We'll start talking about the Rockets and that fragrant foul and the fact that the Rockets got another W while James Harden sits. So if you want to chime in on some basketball, we'll get to that next and a whole lot more in hour number two of The Usual Suspect right here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, guys, before we get to hour number two, I do want to tell you about Texas Can Academies. I've been telling you about them for a long time. It is a great, great, great program going on in the Houston area where Houstonians help kids in need trying to get a second chance at an education. And it's you, the people of Houston, making donations that end up helping these kids as they're on their quest to try and get their education. It's a simple program how it works. I know with the hurricane and everything that everybody experienced with weather-related damage in the past couple of months, there are a lot of vehicles that are no longer working that are sitting on your property, and the last thing you want to do is spend more money to have it towed away. Well, now I've got a way that you guys can avoid a tow charge and can actually come out better because of it, whether it was insured or not. All you got to do is call Texas Can Academies, 713-225-4226, or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them what you live. They do where you live. They do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. They take the vehicle away. They do all the paperwork. Just for mentioning ESPN 97.5, you get a $50 gift card. And then on top of that, they give you a tax deduction. And that's where the process really begins. Because they take your donation, whether it's working or not, whether it be a truck, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a trailer, whatever you got, they take it. They tow it away. And they turn it into resources for kids trying to get their education. These kids have distractions, and maybe they don't have the money for books or eyeglasses or bus fare or warm meals, but because of your donations, suddenly they do. Those distractions are eliminated and they can focus on getting the education that they need. It's fantastic, and it's all here in the Houston area. So again, if you're considering donating or you can, please consider calling 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.